7:13 now, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, October 2nd. I'm talking about Tuesday morning. We don't want to go back. Wednesday morning, October 2nd. Stayed up too late last night watching the debate. You can text me your thoughts on that if you like at 504-260-1870. Good news is a minor cool front coming through for the weekend. Going to have just a little hint of fall. Highs of 84 and lower humidity, which is good. We're all looking forward to that. We're going to spend an hour talking about this inspector general in Jefferson Parish and a proposed brew pub in Gretna that they're going to break ground on. As it stands, the day after tomorrow, we'll see what happens on that. Joe Marino joins us first. We'll get both sides of this. He's a former state representative, a practicing attorney, and as I understand it, the legislator who got the capital outlay project into the budget in 2022. Is that accurate, Joe?
Yep, that is. This is a very long project that we've been working on with a lot of people since it's been in the state budget since 2022, and it's been funded in three consecutive years.
All right, let me first of all welcome you and say good morning to you. And now let's go back and start at the beginning. Back in 2022, budgeting-wise, and I don't get too far into the weeds, but if there's a Jefferson Parish Gretna thing, how does the state get involved in this?
Well, actually, what it is, it starts out as a plan to try to redevelop this blacktop parking lot, or what would be the best use for this blacktop parking lot that's really not serving really any purpose other than blight. That's what it looks like. And so what we want to do, we want to figure out how we're going to develop this. And the ideas started coming with a parking complex to serve all the surrounding buildings and also to attract river cruises at that ferry right there and maybe a water taxi. And then it morphed into, well, we can't put a garage next to the Huey P. Long. There's some zoning there. It's like, wait, what if we put in commercial leasable space there?
Hang on one second. Tell me where this is, Joe. Where is this at the corner?
Okay, so if you go down Huey P. Long in Gretna, right before you get to the levee, to your left, the last building is the parish court building.
Right.
There's the building. There's a giant parking lot right there that goes all the way. It goes from Huey P. Long all the way over to Durbany, and it's just an open, flat parking lot, and that's the property we're talking about. So what you do, just like any other process, you know, when you want to get funding from the state for your project, you put in a capital outlay request, and that's how the legislature, you know, that's how your state rep is involved. That's how I get involved, because at the time, it was in my district, so I'm involved in these meetings. And we put in a capital outlay, and what the capital outlay request is, the state is going to fund, if it's approved, 75% of the total project. The locals have to come up with a 25% match, mm-hmm. and so that's the majority of this project, which is not, I haven't really heard yet, is state funded. The state's going to come up with, and the state has been funding this. We've been drawing this money down since the first $4.5 million that we got in 2022. And so what happens as we're going through this process, when state funding's involved, you've got the Department of Administration that's going to start looking at your project and see, what is this project and how does it work? So we get them to come in, and they've reviewed and vetted this project about four times that I'm personally aware of. Jim Lee, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, he's with the Facility Planning and Control. They went down through this entire project and how it's layered with the parish, with the state, with the locals. We all met, and it's been vetted and approved, and it's in full compliance with the law and with parish ordinances. What happens is this project's going on for years. There's billboards out on Huey P. Long in the corner showing you what the building's going to look like. We've been talking about it for years. The parish has voted on aspects of this project six or seven times, including the last time in October of 2023. And that's apparently, according to the testimony of the inspector general at the last council meeting, she said that's when she first noticed this project and decided to start investigating it. 2023, when the parish unanimously votes to approve the lease to the tenant in the commercial space. So then what happens next, and I'll stop if you want to ask me questions.
I do. Let me go back and just talk about the project itself, because I'm presuming that people know about it, because we do, but maybe they don't.
Right. So what the project is, it's going to be a complex that has two parts to it. One side of it is this parking complex. It's not going to be an ugly box parking complex. It's a well-designed, landscaped, blends in with the area, three-level parking complex. On the front side, which is going to face UEP Long, we're going to have a brew pub. We're going to have a restaurant. We're going to have public space, a little 5,000-square-foot public park. And then the city is going to be funding the part, which is a kiosk, which my mayor, Belinda Constant, has always been saying that she wanted to have her own kiosk. So that's also part of it.
To do what? Tell me what that kiosk is going to do.
It could be many different things. It's a wayfinding thing, for one, to let people know where is everything and what is everything there. The kiosk.
It's a public use, is what it is. It's not, you're not selling magazines or anything. It's.
The kiosk part of it is the smallest part of the project. But the main part of the project, it's a parking complex with commercial leasable space that in the end is going to turn a blacktop parking lot into a game-changing economic development for the city and the parish. Go ahead.
How many floors is a parking lot?
It's three, I believe.
Is it free parking or is it paid parking?
No, it's paid parking.
Okay. Because I know, I tell you.
But it's not paid when you go. So just like the lot right now, it's paid parking if you're just coming to some of those buildings. But if you're an employee or a juror or all the staff or all the people around it, the parish has to provide parking for them. That's why and they fill up the garage and that space. And so the majority of those lots, spaces don't ever generate revenue. Because that's where the, like I said, court staff, juror parking, you got the DA's office there, you got the general government building there, you got the courthouse, you got court of appeal, parish court. I mean, there's a lot of different buildings and government that can use that lot as well. Plus, we want to have parking in the future towards a river taxi maybe, or cruise ships coming in and docking at the ferry landing there.
Yeah, let me take a break now, Joe. We'll pick it up when we come back. I had company in from out of town. I think I spent Friday night and Saturday night at the River Shack. So I'm very familiar with that area, and I know parking can be tight, so we'll pick it up here when we come back. We're talking to Joe Marino, former state representative, practicing attorney, about this plan to build a brew pub in Gretna that the Inspector General has problems with, and we'll talk with her in the next half hour. Quick look at traffic now, WWL. All right, quickly back to Joe Marino, former state representative, talking about this proposed project in Jefferson Parish for a brew pub. Let me get to this, Joe, in the time we have left. The letter that the Inspector General sent out, and I'll let the audience know she's going to join us in the next half hour, says that it potentially violated state law by circumventing the public bid process, that there's no assurance that there was open competition among contractors, that it was free from favoritism. She also wrote that the lease agreement puts the parish at significant financial risk if the brew pub underperforms. Go ahead.
She made a series of assumptions in this letter. So let's just, first of all, talk about what it is. To the general public, if you have a 35-page letter entitled Public Letter to Parish Council Donating Public Funds and Property, not that didn't happen, Public Improvements Without Public Bid and Lack of Transparency, JPOIG 2024-001. The general public looks at this like this is a report and these are findings, that there were violations of open bid laws, open meeting laws, public lease laws. there's a lot of accusations in there. But what it doesn't say, which she admitted when she went to the council meeting, is she started looking into this in October of 2023 and wrote a 35-page letter without asking a single person involved in the project to comment on what it is that she's speculating on. She doesn't ask the state reps. She doesn't ask the parish. She doesn't speak to the parish attorney. She doesn't do any investigation and releases a 35-page letter, which is putting all of us in, it makes us look like we are violating all of these laws. We are going, and that is what I had a problem with, which is why I went to the council meeting and said that, and why I went to the ethics board and said that. If you want to know what happens or what's going on, you're the inspector general. You can ask questions. You can show up at meetings. You can send me an email. You can call me. You can put out a written request for information. You can do all these things to start giving yourself an understanding about what the project is if you have questions or concerns that you didn't do. And the way it looks is the timing of this letter is dropped right before we're getting ready to do the groundbreaking on this project. And so it was intentionally done, it looks like, to try to stop the project with a reckless public letter, which, again, read that whole letter and see if it says anywhere in there, by the way, I wrote this letter without talking to a single person involved in the project yet. She says at the meeting she's going to do that. That is just an abuse of the power of the inspector general. And look, I'll stay on the line. I'd love to ask her my own questions at the, in the second half hour.
If she's willing, we didn't invite her on to do that. But if she was willing to do that, you can hang on. So let's see if Kim wants to go through with that. And if she does,
she also has subpoena power. If she wants records, she can subpoena people to meetings. She can get a court-ordered subpoena if she wants to. I mean, there's ways.
You hang on. We got to go to news. We'll check with Ms. Chatelaine before we put her on to see if she's willing to do that. If not, no problem. We didn't invite her on under those circumstances. But we'll see if we can work it out. We'll take a break now for news on WWL. 7:42:18 before 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Kim Chatelaine is with us, Jefferson Parish Inspector General. Now, Joe Marino is on as well. But, Joe, before we let you talk to Kim, I want to give Kim some uninterrupted time to tell us her side of this, or the Inspector General's side of the project. Good morning, Ms. Chatelaine. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you guys.
Okay to call you Kim, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me what it was about this project that caused you to, or led to your issuing this letter.
It was an evolution, of course, as the transaction evolved in parts and pieces before the council. But what really woke me up was the October 23rd, 2023 council meeting, where they approved two leases for Port Orleans. It was a very different meeting. I attend all the council meetings. And the way the transaction was presented, and most notably, I would say just watching the council members, they just did not seem fully informed about the details of the transaction. It was as if they were receiving the information for the first time at this meeting.
What are the details? Because I'm trying to figure out, it's owned by a nonprofit, Jefferson Facilities Incorporated. Who's behind that? Where does Orleans Brew, what's the name of the company? Orleans what? Brewing?
Port Orleans Brewing.
Yeah. Who's going to own the thing? That's what I'm trying to figure out. And where does the private entity come in? Where does the public entity come in? Where does the nonprofit come in all of this?
Well, that's probably the most fascinating facts of the transaction. So the building is going to be built with parish funds. It will be built on parish property. And at the end of the day, the parish will own it. What the parish is not doing is the parish is not building it. The parish is giving $10.3 million to Jefferson Facilities, Inc., and Jefferson Facilities, Inc. is going to build this brew pub and taco restaurant. And that's probably, that was at the point in time in which I put the pieces together, that the parish leased a building it hadn't yet built to an entity, Port Orleans, in October. And then in December, it turns around and gives $8.6 million to Jefferson Facilities, Inc., to build the building it had leased 2 months earlier.
Okay. Where does Port Orleans have some skin in this game when it comes to running a business?
Well, Port Orleans operates in New Orleans.
No, I understand that, but are they going to lease area?
So Port Orleans is going to come in. They have absolutely no base rent that they will have to pay. They will pay a percentage of their gross revenue, but they're paying it to Jefferson Facilities, Inc., which means Jefferson Parish gets zero return off of this transaction. Sales tax are going to be paid to the state of Louisiana. They're going to be paid to the city of Gretna. But Jefferson Parish is in it for $10.3 million and not getting any return.
All right, let me bring Joe Marino in now, who is on the other side of this. And Ms. Chatelaine, I know you agreed to go on with him, which is very gracious of you. We did not invite you on for that. But with that being said, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the reason I was upset earlier and still continue to be is that she's making suggestions that we've done things that are against laws without asking me or anybody involved. I mean, did she ask any council member any question before she wrote a 35-page public letter? I mean, you have to know that this letter makes some very big accusations, and the public is going to perceive this as wrongdoing. And why did you go on television the day before you released the letter and do an interview with Fox 8 before you released it to the public? It seems like this is just an attempt by you to stop the project, and that's it.
Well, can I respond to that?
Absolutely. That's why you're here.
So, first of all, I did not go on air before the letter was released. I think there is some confusion about when the letter was released. When I sent this letter out to all of the councilmen, I sent it out as an embargo copy. That is our standard protocol. I also send out an embargo copy to the press the day before. That is our standard protocol on all of our reports. And then the report goes live and published on our website at midnight. So the council person, as well as the media, did receive an embargoed copy about noontime the day before the letter went public, and then the letter went public at midnight, and then I was first interviewed and aired the next day. So, yes, the letter was public to everybody. I'd also like to ask Representative Marino what do you think is so bad about the letter? Because I have commented that my biggest concern when I published that letter was that it was too technical and too dry. Because if you read the 35 pages, it really just talks about facts, public facts, bid laws, lease laws, and open meetings laws. And so I'm completely confused as to why the narrative by those who claim to be offended has been amplified in this very negative space. It's really surprised me. I really thought that people would hit the pause button and say, okay, is she raising valid questions? Do we need to revisit these questions? Do we need to relook at this transaction in that light?
Yes, it sounds innocent. But what it is what I'm upset about and what everyone was upset about, that you imply that there's a good bit of wrongdoing without doing an investigation. You have assumptions in your letters which are incorrect that you could have clearly corrected if you had asked any questions. And then you put out a letter with your assumptions and your conclusions, which I call speculations. And that's not the job of the inspector general. That's the speculator general who's just throwing out accusations without asking anyone questions. And you could have gotten all the answers you needed to clear up what you have wrong in your report. But a year after you were concerned about it, you hadn't done it. And then you released this letter. That is implying to the public that all of these things happened. These are all bad. These are all wrong. and you want us to now stop this project. And that's what I have a problem with.
So the problem is the timing, Joe, is that what you're saying? And Ms. Chatelaine, how would you respond to that?
Well, I guess I'm still trying to understand, because whenever, like, Representative Moreno speaks or Representative Cox speaks, they keep talking about assumptions and errors and wrong, but they won't say what's wrong. What assumptions are in the letter that you think are wrong? Because it would be easier for me to respond to something specific than to respond to a conclusion.
We're not going to spend a whole hour talking about your letter. I'm talking about the process. I'm talking about this is not a public letter, is a rarity that comes out of the Inspector General's office. There have only been two of them. And it's reckless to use your office to write this kind of public letter. I wouldn't do a 35-page letter on a subject that I never asked a person a question about, and that's your job. And that's what I have a problem with. I can go through the whole project with you when you want me to, and I can walk you through it. It's complex. But I would not release a letter accusing people of wrongdoing without at least giving them the opportunity to respond to it or to explain it to you. That's the problem.
Did you talk to anybody involved in the process, Kim?
No, and again, I find it interesting that really is what people's objection is. Like nobody will identify a single fact in the report that is in error. And as I've stated publicly numerous times, when I approached this, I approached it from the public record, meaning I should be able to put together this transaction. It should line up with the laws based on the public record. I mean, that is quintessential open meetings laws.
Let me ask you both before we run out of time. I think all the public is concerned about, not necessarily the politics of this, but is it a good thing for the taxpayers, the people that are involved? Is anybody going to profit off of this that shouldn't? Were the state laws followed that should have been violated before, that should have been followed, rather? Was anything violated? How do you two, what goes forward from here? How do you move this process forward with the idea or the prospect of the groundbreaking happening 2 days from today?
It's not a prospect of a groundbreaking. It is a groundbreaking. Okay. The project has been vetted. The project has been voted. The project has been approved. There are no violations of any public meeting laws, public lease laws, or anything else that she's put. I'll tell you one thing right away that you have wrong. You say that we donated, title of your report, donating public funds and property. Absolutely wrong. None donated. No property, no funds. But we can go through your report, and I will with you. But I'm telling you that the way you went about it is accusatory without any fact-finding. It's speculation.
Well, I look forward to visiting with you about the transaction, and I will be reaching out to you, so hopefully we can have a great conversation. But, Tommy, my biggest concern...
I hope we get a public letter saying I was mistaken. I hope we get a public letter from the IG,
Joe,
saying I was mistaken.
You had a half hour. Let me give Kim the last word. Go ahead, Kim.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead, Kim.
Absolutely. This is not political for me. I think it's sad to the extent that it has become political. What is of paramount concern to me is two things. Number one, you cannot dress it up, dress it down, or change the facts. We're giving $10 million away to a nonprofit to build a public building. That is not how government operates. Government bids out construction jobs. Government bids out for public buildings, and government builds public buildings. There are very few things in government and in law that is black and white, and public bid law is one of them. It is our protections as citizens to ensure that we are getting a good product for a good price from a competent contractor. And if this is built by a nonprofit, then we do not have the transparency we are entitled to as the public. What is equally as alarming is that if Jefferson Parish can give $10.3 million to a nonprofit to build a public building once, then they can do it again.
I think
we can give four. Okay. Thank you
both. I appreciate your time, and I hope you can both come back on again after you two get together, and we'll revisit this. 7:55, traffic now, WWL.